Hey everybody, welcome back to Check the Gate, a Film Lovers Deep Dive. I'm Bert, and as always, I'm joined with Brandon.
Hello.
And Michael.
Hello.
Today we are doing our fourth Adam Sandler film. It is the 2005 film The Longest Yard, about prison inmates form a football team to challenge the prison guards. That is a short and sweet IMDb.
but pretty accurate.
Here we go. Yes. I chose this movie. Like I mentioned last week, it was, for whatever reason, it was just one of those Adam Sandler movies where I was just like, you know, I haven't seen this in 10 years, and I'm getting a weird hankering for it. And then, you know, Michael decided we're doing Sandler, and I said, what better time than now? Hell will yeah. This hold up? Will it not? Yeah. I think it did.
Yeah.
This is a moment. This movie is such a moment. Like 2005 with all these cameos.
Yeah.
For sure.
The soundtrack. Like, of the Adam Sandler movies that we have done, this one, like, nostalgia waved me more than any of the other ones. And I think it's just because I played football in high school and this was a movie that everybody watched much.
I forgot Goldberg was in it.
Yeah, it had a little bit of pop culture, or a lot of bit of pop culture for the time, you know, like it just. The 2000s era, you know, Dan Patrick and like,
freaking Nelly,
Berman, Jim
Chris
Rome,
Berman, Jim Rome,
Nelly.
Yeah,
yeah,
D12, yeah.
I was like, oh, is that proof? Vintage, he just called him not so Slim Shady.
Vintage Tracy Morgan,
yeah. We get just a Michael Irvin highlight reels.
Oh yeah.
Still got it.
Still got it. Didn't look any different than when he played.
No. Yeah. I mean, and even same with like Bill Romanowski.
Oh, yeah.
Who's,
for
you know, the linebacker for the guards, who's a four-time Super Bowl champ himself. Like I said, like, there's not a whole lot to this movie. It's one of those classic underdog football, whatever. Movies, like the whole movie's ramping up for a game. The game happens, and when the movie's done, you're like, yeah,
got
it. It didn't need to be more, it didn't need to be less. It just was just enough, you know. And Adam Sandler kind of playing the straight guy in this movie, kind of lets everybody else have their moments, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, like Chris Rock was the funny guy, right?
Yes, and then obviously we're introduced to. I don't remember the timeline of movies, but John Turturro's brother, Brucey, is this his first Adam Sandler movie? We're kind of introduced to him, where he's getting a lot of those laugh lines too.
Yeah.
Just as the,
yeah,
just the shit heel that no one likes.
Yeah.
Obviously you got, you know, four professional wrestlers in there too. Stone Cold Steve Austin is obviously very comfortable saying the N-word.
Oh, yeah. Some hard N-word. I was taken aback by that. I was like, I do not recall that. But
yeah. Like, I winced every time.
You could get away with a lot more in 2005.
But then you got a guy like Kevin Nash, who in the wrestling world takes himself very seriously. And in this movie, he's just the guy that everyone shits on because he's... had his roids replaced with estrogen.
That was so funny.
So it's funny seeing that side of him when he's just like the guy with the constant stick up his ass. But
yeah, even the cameos did a great job acting. You know, they played their roles.
Jim Rome just saying we're in the heart of Toothless Country. Why would I want to be anywhere else? The hot dogs are burning. The footballs are going. No place I'd rather be.
And a cameo by Lauren Sanchez, too. That was...
yeah.
Wild.
And real-life criminal Eddie Bunker.
Damn, just a sprinkle of everything.
Everything.
Yeah. But how do you guys feel about this movie?
It was fun.
Yeah, it's a meh. That's all good.
Not my favorite.
I agree with you, though, that it had been a while since I've seen this. A long time. So yeah, the rewatch was pleasant. It was a fun movie.
Well,
lots of good lines that I didn't realize came from this movie.
Always protect your McNuggets, Michael.
That and Group Hug and Shower tonight. Obviously, this is Rob Schneider.
Yeah,
it's you
Rob
know?
Schneider. Yeah.
Love that guy. But.
That's what I said last week. I said, we'll have a little bit. Little Schneider.
A little glimpse.
I would say that I don't think this is my favorite Adam Sandler.
No. Agreed. No. Me neither. This is like, and I could say this for like a lot of sports movies in general, great background movies.
Yeah.
Sure. Like yeah. doing other things, get my chores done, and then I'll sit down and watch the game section. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know this is very, very formulaic, put in a bad situation, underdog story. Obviously, we're going to prevail. Despite the odds kind of yeah. thing. It's just
even if we are swayed a little bit in the, you know, like, should I throw the game? Should I follow through? Because my guard or my because of my friends. And then, you know,
beautiful.
Plus how he ended up, how he ended up in jail was pretty epic too.
Yeah, yeah, pretty sick.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and get into all that. Like I said, 2005 film, guys, we're retreading a lot of years here. Because this was the Wedding Crashers year, top three films, 2005, Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Number two, Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith. And number one, Larry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Damn, Larry.
I talked about last week, my sense memory about The Longest Yard is that we were on vacation in California, June, the first week of June, 2005. We go to the movies for our classic family, the Cook family movie hopping session, where it's you buy tickets to see one movie, and then you sneak into another two for free with a family of six. We did it all the time. I remember it was raining in California, so it stuck out. We went and saw Cinderella Man as a family.
Mm.
And then our parents were like, we're going to go see The Longest Yard. You kids go see Star Wars Episode 3, which I had already seen. And I was like, I really wanted to watch The Longest Yard, but I had to go with my sisters because I was the eldest and I had to watch them. Our movie started super early, so ours ended first. And then we had to sit there and wait for like an hour for their movie to get done. So we just hung out in the lobby. And I remember going in because my sister was like, will you just go see how much long is left in the movie? I was like, I'm not going to be able to know how much time is left on this movie. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
But I go in and I look and I see Goldberg lay out a guy with brass knuckles and he says, suck it, bitch. I was just like, oh.
I should have watched this movie.
My 14-year-old sheltered mind was just like, oh. Come to find out that's literally the first when the game starts.
Yeah,
so
right,
there's like 40 minutes of the movie left. But that's my sense memory of this movie.
Nice.
Can't tell you the exact date, but I can tell you them. And then after that, we met up and we watched Madagascar.
It was so nice.
This is the year that this is all happening.
Another Chris Rock movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got all rocked out. ticket cost, 2005, $6.41. That's $10.52 our money. The budget for the film was $82 million. Which is equivalent to $134.5 million. And the box office was $191.5 million, which is equivalent to $314.2 million. And of course, this film was nominated for zero Academy Awards.
Shocker.
Sandman does well, though, in the box office, though.
He does, yeah. I mean, that's why they keep giving him all. Yeah. I feel like. Honestly, it's kind of surprising because I feel like a lot of his movies don't get great reviews just because I think some people think his movies are kind of all the same. He just invites all his friends out. We're not quite in the tropical location yet, but like he must be making money for a studio to be like, here's all this money. Go to Hawaii with your buddies and film a movie. Come back and we just start the process over. Like he has his niche.
Yeah, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Which I think in the end puts butts in seats, you know?
They're exactly.
Just like, okay, another people Adam Sandler movie. Let's watch it.
People just want to laugh, man. Like,
yeah.
Just have
it's
an
easy
time.
Watch, too. Yeah. I mean, most of it's just like, oh, okay. I'm not walking away like, what was the artist's interpretation of the ending? You know, what am I supposed to? It's just like, it's what it is.
And none of the movies that we've watched thus far feel like they've dragged on or like, man, I really wish this would end.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, here you go, bye.
It's just like,
I was surprised that this movie was just shy of 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was, so like going into it, I was like, damn, I do not remember this being this long.
But the whole game scene is like a good 45 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. But it only feels like 15.
Exactly.
Maybe it's just because we're now, the pacing is obviously
picked up
more up. Well, we got little, you know, your classic football montages of the comeback, that kind of thing. But so there is like a lot of groundwork being laid to the point where I got done and I looked at my notes. I said, I have 9 pages of notes for the longest yard.
That's a long yard.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy Dufresne once crawled through 400 yards of piss and shit and came out clean on the other side. That's the length of 4 football fields.
Sheesh.
This movie begins with a big Hollywood party, probably where a lot of the $82 million budget came into play, because I can't imagine the New Mexico State Penitentiary charging that much in rent. We see Courtney Cox is hosting a big Hollywood party, but is looking for her boyfriend, Paul Crewe, who is, of course, played by the man Adam Sandler, who we find out is an ex-football quarterback who got banned from the league, even though he was acquitted of racketeering charges, was still nonetheless banned from the NFL, or whatever they call the league.
Excommunicado.
In this universe. Because he was, you know, convicted of shaving points, but obviously acquitted, but still banned. He is drunk in their bedroom, reliving his past glory days by watching old game film. She's mad at him because he's not out there on the party. He's like, I forgot, you know, I'll take you to the movies.
Yeah, I'll take you later. To the movies.
She cusses him out, says, I want you to put this sailor outfit. He's like, what am I, Elton John? I'm not wearing this. Yeah. Like, it's just like, it looks like a Popeye costume.
Yeah. It really did.
She says, if you don't put the outfit on and get out there and start mingling, I'm dumping you and getting you out of my house. And you're not freeloading off me anymore. He says, I'm sorry. I'm just mad that you're not wearing my gift I got you. Suddenly her attitude changes. You got me a gift? Yeah, it's in the closet. To which she goes in and he locks the door behind her and says, I think we need some time apart and I'm going to take your Bentley for a joyride. And then he grabs a 6-pack of beers with him as he takes off in her nice Bentley. Courtney Cox's friend lets her out of the closet only for her to then call the police, saying, you want to fuck with me? I'll fuck with you back. Calls the police, reports her car stolen, to which he's immediately pulled over. Sandler's clearly drunk, does the whole, I'm sorry, officer, was I speeding? We got quite a height disparity between the two cops. He starts making fun of the short one. Don't you get short with me, Frodo Baggins. Which is making fun of his ears. The entire time in high school. Anytime, don't get short with me, Frodo. I heard that so many times. He's got the big ears. He goes, I got a question for you, pal. Does he get satellite radio? He does pick up a few stations.
Yeah. I like how he's like, yeah, he does.
What are you doing, man? He's like, come on, man. It's Paul Crewe.
They're all fist bumping.
He's like, you're all slurring your words tonight, Mr. Crewe. Are you, he's like, no, officer. By the way, why don't you hold my beer and I'll back out for you. And he hands him a beer. Hits reverse, slams into the cop car, pulls up forward, and he goes, hey, you can hold on to that one. I got 5 more, but thanks, guys. Takes off, and now we're in a high-speed chase through downtown L.A., to which Courtney Cox is watching on the news, calls him, says, if you get one more scratch on my car, we're done, to which he realizes he's being filmed, and he causes a 12-car pileup. Cop cars.
And somehow crawls out of it, you know?
I love, you know, he gets out, he's like, don't worry, guys, good news, I didn't spill my beer. To which they slam him on the hood, and we cut to him being taken away to the Holes camp. I mean, prison in the middle of New Mexico. That's supposed to be Texas, but we ain't got mountains out here, guys. Fun fact, this is New Mexico. He's being escorted into prison by four-time Super Bowl champ Bill Romanowski. he meets William Fichtner, who is the head guard, who is going to take him to the warden. But before that, you know, he shows him, hey, we got ourselves a football team ourselves. We got a really nice field, some nice facilities. Hits him in the stomach with his nightstick and says, now what the warden's going to do is he's going to ask for your expertise, since you were an NFL quarterback. He's going to ask for your expertise to help him, but you're going to tell him no. And he hits him again. And he says, well, I'm going to make your life miserable. To which we enter the warden, who's played by beautiful, immaculate James Cromwell, stalwart.
Oh, yeah.
He's in everything you love.
Especially Babe. James. Yeah.
And his Kentucky Fried Chicken advisor, yeah. Who's helping him run.
That hurt government. My marble sack.
That hurt my marble sack. he lets him know that he has him because he's going to be running for governor. You know, I take care of these prisons so well, I figured I could take care of the whole state. Now, there's two things here in Texas that we care about most passionately. There's prisons and there's football. To which, I have my own team. Now, the one here's being very modest. They are very good. But not good enough. We haven't won a championship in 4 years. But, as luck would have it, I made a few calls, and before me stands Adam Sandler, great quarterback for whatever Pittsburgh team exists in this universe. They never say the Steelers. He asks him for help, to which Sandler's like, I kind of just want to do my time. And then I'll get out of here. And he goes, now I can make your life very miserable for not coming with me. He goes, respectfully, I think I'm out. To which the warden gets pissed, has William Fichtner stay behind while he cusses him out. And we meet Cloris Leachman, who is the super horny receptionist for the warden. Who says, I love your underwear ads.
It's always got to be one.
Yeah.
Told you, it's the running joke. Thank you very much. She's like, my husband used to wear your tighty whities all the time.
Course, he didn't fill them out.
Fill them out as quite like you did. Fichtner comes out of the office and he goes, oh, is he mad at you? He's like, no, we're best of friends. As he pulls a nightstick out, whacks him over the back of the head as he leaves. We're in the prison mess hall, and that's where Adam Sandler meets Chris Rock's character, the caretaker, a la Shawshank Redemption, very Morgan Freeman. He's the guy who can get you things. You want McDonald's? Get you McDonald's. He's like, I can get you the love of a woman. He goes, well, as long as you lower the standards on beautiful and woman. And then we cut and we see Tracy Morgan. It's so weird seeing Tracy Morgan so thin, too.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like, young Tracy Morgan.
Joey Diaz made up for it, though.
Do I need to sit down? This, you guys better not be cutting me. I'm still on the team.
The belly, dude.
It's so big. Yeah,
God, so damn. Big. Even when he's like laying down, I'm like, that. You just see the bubble.
Can of corn. Get me a can of corn.
Can of corn, I'll be fine.
You're lugging that thing around, man. Jeez.
Chris Rock tells him that everybody here hates you. He said, you could do anything. You could steal from somebody. You can murder somebody. But you shaving points off in a football game is just un-American. But I'm the guy who can get you anything, help you out. But also, don't be fucking scared of anybody. If you get scared of anybody, you're going to be someone's bitch, and you don't want to be that. And he goes, thanks for the advice. Goes and he takes Babyface Bob's tray, says, let me get that for you. I'm still eating. Oh, let me give it back to you. Smacks him in the face with the tray. Starts a prison fight, all-out brawl. Stone Cold Steve Austin tosses in a hand grenade a la Hornet's Nest, which fires rubber pellets everywhere to break up the fight.
which they William were Fichtner, they were jonesing to toss that Hornet's Nest.
Yeah.
He had that ready to go.
yes. William Fichtner comes down, breaks it up. He goes to swing his baton at Adam Sandler. He catches it, lets him know that shit's getting old. He makes a comment about how better watch yourself, these guys. And he goes, oh, they think you're a dumb redneck too? to which we get him thrown in the hot box. Everyone's like, oh man, he's standing up to the guards. He's a cool guy. We see him in the hot box. Steve Austin lets him out and takes him back to the warden, where now we are at the facility, where he's like, I'm telling you, I can make your life a whole lot easier. We have everything you need. We got great facilities. We got the equipment. And then we see two-time Hall of Famer Kevin Nash slam his helmet on the team. He's like, obviously, we got some steroids problems, too. He relents and says, okay, I'll help, but you got to get William Fichtner off my back. You know, he's like, don't worry about him. If you're helping, we're good. And he goes, what you need is a tune-up game. It's a game, start the season, where you pay some shitty college, like Appalachian State, 2 years before they went on a fucking insane run, by the way.
Yeah, let's give them a little bit of more credit.
Yeah, hindsight is 2020, guys. This was like, what, 3 years before they beat number 5 Michigan?
Michigan, yeah. It's not too long.
He's like, we play a shitty team like Appalachian State, gets the guy's confidence built up, to which the warden says, by God, you right? I'm going to give you 4 weeks to create a team of inmates for the guards. And he's like, you're just going to beat this. You just want to do this to beat this. She's like, hey, like you said, tune-up game. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. Maybe these 3 years in the pen can be nice 3 years. We have Chris Rock hanging up tryout signs. Apparently nobody in jail can read.
Tryouts.
Tryouts. to which we meet 3-time Super Bowl champion Michael Irvin comes out, takes it off, says it's just a waste of time. We're out here just trying to get tuned up by the guards. But we do have a group of guys who do want to be on the team, and that first practice is a doozy. We got shitty dirt fields, we got terrible equipment, and we have the most ragtag group of ragtag players you could think of. We have what looks like one good player in Swatowski, played by what, Bob Sapp?
Yeah, Bob yeah. Sapp.
Sandler kind of lets everybody know, hey, I'm going to be your coach. I'm going to be your quarterback, to which we meet Brucey, who says, why you got to be quarterback? And he's like, all right, let's see what you got, big guy. Goes, throws in the ball, shanks it to the, that's why. Sit down, shut up. We're going to grade everybody on a scale of 1 to 10. So let's get going. We get them running track. All right, these guys are 6s. Next group, these guys are 5s. Got a couple 3s. I think we're missing somebody. Cut to Joey Diaz on the ground. You guys better not be cutting me. He's on the ground.
1.5.
Mount Everest belly on the ground. He's like,
that thing's about to explode.
-2? Yeah, let's go -2. We got some hitting drills going, and Bob Sapp absolutely destroys the tackle book. I'm sorry, I broken your toy.
He's like, your toy.
No, that's a good thing. You should give Mr. Caretaker a hug for it. He's like, what? Okay. Wraps him up in a big hug. We get that first scene where we're, okay, now we're on the line. We're all lined up. We know what positions everyone's playing. I'm going to hike the ball. Everyone run your route. Hikes the ball, turns into an all-out brawl. Everyone just starts beating the shit out of each other. He's like, okay, we're going to have to work on that. As practice has ended, out in the horizon comes a beacon of hope as a Burt Reynolds.
Nate comes Scarborough. Up.
The Heisman winner for OU. What you doing in here? I thought you were dead.
In 1955.
No, I was going to say, what year was the original Longest Yard? Because obviously...
74.
74. Yeah. Gotcha. So obviously, Burt Reynolds is back. He was the Paul Crewe in the original. He says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be your coach. And we need to hit the recruitment trail. has him meet real-life criminal Eddie Bunker, who is also Mr. Blue in Reservoir Dogs, if you remember that.
Yeah.
To show them the records of violent criminals, because everyone here is ranked from 0 stars to 5 stars, to which Chris Rock gets all cocky. Let's see what my crazy ass is. Half a star. So we're looking for all the 5-star violent offenders, to which now they're on the recruitment trail. Sandler tries talking to WWE Hall of Famer The Great Khali, who is a guy that is in quasi-solitary confinement, but still gets rec time. He seems in there and he's pounding his head on the wall. He's cracking the wall. He's got the blood dripping down. He's like, hey, we're starting a football team. Okay, I'm going to go pee. The guard smacks him. You scared him off, dummy. We meet another 5-star offender who enjoys his rec time as watching The View, and he gets rather pissed off if somebody turns The View off. Cut to a guard doing just that, to which he says, if this guy's playing football for the guards, I'm playing football for you guys. So cut to them hiking the ball. Brucey's the wide receiver, goes out for the catch. This dude lays him out, destroys him. Brucey's like, I got a bird. Next scene, we see WWE Hall of Fame Goldberg showering. Everyone's distracted by his massive penis. He was like, a game against the guards? I'm in. What are we going to do? Hit him with that hammer? He's like, nah, I want to hurt him, not kill him. Problem is that this team is all defense. We got a lot of big-ass, mean motherfuckers, but they're all on defense, and they're killing everybody. We have no speed, to which Chris Rock has an idea. You got to go talk to the basketball guys, get some speed over here, to which he does, to where we meet D12. Mm-hmm. Adam Sandler's coming in rocking that beanie, and they call him Not So Slim Shady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, Terry Crews as Cheeseburger Eddie.
Yeah.
I love Nelly. Cheeseburger Eddie.
I forgot my Band-Aid. I was going to rock my Band-Aid in honor of Nelly.
Bummer.
But I forgot. It was only just a dream, I guess. And Michael Irvin, to which he's...
good one.
It wasn't that good.
But... Yeah, I mean, it was inserted well.
He says, I have a proposition for you. We're not planning to get beat up by the guards. We're doing this so we can actually take a wallop on them too, but you fancy yourselves basketball players. I challenge you, Michael Irvin, to a game of 1v1. If I win, you join the team. If you win, I'll walk away and you never hear from me again. To which Irvin says, you got it, dude. Call your own fouls. And we get a very violent game of 1v1 where Michael Irvin's throwing elbows, punching. Was that a foul? Nah, man, it's clean. It's clean. Was that a foul? Nah, man, it's clean. Throws him on the ground. Was that a foul? It's all clean, brother. To which we're seeing the guys slowly start to respect Adam Sandler's toughness, at the very least, even to the point where when he gets gypped out of winning, because when he finally gets the ball from Irvin, Irvin calls the one foul that isn't a foul.
Yeah. Foul. I was like, after all that.
To which he goes in, bounces off the board, dunks it. But Nelly says, nah, any man who could take a beating like that and stay with it, I'm all you. You got yourself a running back. And he goes, not any good ones. And he says, I'm your man. And then he laces up and we get a look how fast Nelly is.
Montage.
Everyone's just... crazy. That boy is fast. We see Tracy Morgan is leading the cheerleaders now. They have a very special cheer that they like to show Adam Sandler, to which, okay.
Yeah.
The warden's advisor lets him know that this game is becoming a big deal and they'll all be televised, which will, in fact, help you as you run for governor. So James Cromwell, you know, plays with his imaginary beard and says, you got it. Let's televise this sucker. Adam Sandler once again meets with the Great Khali. Plays a round of ping pong with him. He's like, you know, if I drop this wall, we can play together. Showing how the size disparity of him holding that tiny ping pong paddle.
Yeah.
Hitting it. And he goes, you know, we're playing a game of football. And it'd be real fun. You know, it's kind of like ping pong. Except the ball's shaped like an egg. Kind of like my head. Just a joke, buddy. Keep calm. Keep calm. He's giving him nothing. Finally, he says, we'll be playing against the guards. to which the ball, he misses hitting it, and he's really caught. And he kind of looks at him and he goes, "Hey, and your personal guard over here, Papa John? He's their strong safety." To which he goes, "I'll play." And the guard goes, "Oh, fuck." By the way, that guard was Adam Sandler's stuntman for The Waterboy.
Yep. He's also the carjacker in Spider-Man. When he kills Uncle Ben.
Good deal.
Spoilers. Jesus.
God damn.
Never shoot. Sorry.
Jesus. Fuck. Come on, Brandon. Great power.
Come on. Y'all know Uncle Ben died.
Now I do.
Yeah. Jeez. We get that first practice of the great Kali out there playing a position that you don't see very often anymore. He's playing a fullback.
It's a great spot for him.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't just refrigerator Perry, give him the ball on every play, but you're essentially going to be my blindside blocker. In comes Bob Sapp. Great Kali throws up a boot, kicks him in the face. "It broke my nose." Takes his helmet. "I don't want to play anymore." He goes, "No, that's fine. Let me fix it. They snap it back. It's like, "How does it look?" "Better. Better than before. Yeah, like Michael Jackson. Like a young Michael." I love little Michael. "I think he did it on purpose." No. Cut to the great Kali. "Okay, I think he did. You gotta apologize."
"I'm sorry."
"You apologize to me."
Is it just this movie that I'm thinking of him in, or has Bob Sapp played other like big, strong dummies in movies?
I can't place him, but I think it's just because he's...
I mean, he's like a former MMA fighter.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Doesn't look like it. Okay.
He had a stint in the WWE too, but he wasn't there for very long.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There was a time where they were trying to bring MMA fighters over, or WWE was sending them over to MMA, like Matt Riddle. Brock Lesnar went to MMA too.
Yeah.
CM Punk to a lesser degree. But there was a little bit of crossover where everybody was like, "No, it's not scripted. I can fight for real," that kind of thing.
Looks like he's only been in 8 movies. So never mind. It is the longest era that I'm thinking of him in.
"Will you teach me to football?"
Yeah.
Lil Rat Unger is the guard's informant, and he tells him that Nelly's good, guys. He's real good. That boy fast.
That boy fast.
Like, he makes somebody running fast look like they're not running very fast. We get it. He's fast.
Nice.
So essentially, we need to do something about Nelly. Cut to us in the library. Kevin Nash and Stone Cold Steve Austin are there while Nelly is on library duty. "We know you like these books." He's like, "Oh, no, I just like the quiet." Stone Cold Steve Austin, trying to get under his skin, is knocking books down. Tells him to pick it up, obviously smattering in a bunch of N-words in there. Nelly, knowing what they're doing, is not letting them get under their skin. "I bet you want to hit us, don't you?" "No, why would I want to do that? You're my friends." As they drop one final book, we even see that look on Nelly's face of like, are these guys going to...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That look on his face like,
Yeah. While Michael really Irvin and Terry Crews... Yeah. While Michael Irvin and Terry Crews are in the background watching the whole thing happen. Seeing that he's not going to do anything, they knock a bunch of books down and they leave. He picks it up, and Michael Irvin, out of solidarity, goes and picks the books up with him. Guess what? God damn it, I'm on the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't get that from the guard standpoint, though. Like if they're really going to mess him up and take him out of the game, or like...
Yeah, they've already shown not a threat. They've already shown that they beat their inmates. So why aren't they? Are you saying why aren't they just beating on them?
And they're like, "I mean, dropped your books, nerd." Like,
yeah.
"We've got him there," and then run out.
Got him.
Run out of the library, snickering.
Kevin Nash high fiving him.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Yeah, it just doesn't make much sense.
That'll get him. He won't want to play after that.
We just made him so mad.
It's mental warfare.
Yeah.
We're at practice. Burt Reynolds making comments about how nobody can catch a ball, even if somebody could, you aren't able to get the ball enough away without getting smoked, only for Chris Rock to look off to his left on the third day, look to the east as the sun hits the ridge. It's not Gandalf coming down the hill. It's Michael Irvin and the basketball gang coming to join the gang. Soundtracked by Nelly's Here Come the Boom. What a moment in time.
Yeah.
Ooh. 16-year-old me watching this for the first time. Yeah, that's right. 2 years later. I was like, is this my life now? Do I like Nelly?
Yeah.
We're joining the crew, and not only that, we're getting a vintage Michael Irvin highlight reel. He's wearing his number 88 jersey, Cowboys blue, out there catching some sick balls. Was it him? I meant to look it up if it was actually him playing. Probably not. He is 10 years past his prime. Did he retire after the 95 Super Bowl, or did he play for a little longer?
He played to 99. 11 years.
Three-time
Super Bowl champion.
Yes, sir. All three for the Dallas Cowboys. We finally have a team. We're clicking. But we do have a problem, and that's that we have a little rat named Unger who's writing down all the plays. I need to talk to the warden about this. Cut to them going to the warden on the golf course. Kevin Nash is taking him handcuffed as the warden is out there playing a game of golf. Confides in him, hey, listen, you guys are going to kill us anyway, but give us a fair game. Unger, and he goes, oh, is Unger on your squad? And he goes, no, he's actually on your squad. He's giving all the guards the information. He's like, what do you care? And he goes, I just want the guys to know that they have a chance. And he goes, you're an interesting fellow. He's like, you haven't gotten a single phone call, single letter this entire time you're here, but now suddenly you care about something? He's like, I'll tell you what, you'll get my answer in the morning. Cut to that morning. The field has been flooded. Did it rain last night? Not a drop. We see the hose dripping water when we get the guards up in the tower. Bill Romanowski's laughing.
Bastards.
Adam Sandler has a coming to Jesus moment with the guys. Lets them know the warden did this because he's scared. He thinks you guys are going to beat him, so he's trying to get in our heads and stop us. It lets us know that we're on the right track and we can go home, we can go back to our cells, call it a day, or we can have a practice and let them know that we're better than them and we're playing to win.
Yeah, you're not going to let a little rain stop you from making 100 hamburgers, right? Yeah.
Boom! Bam! The bathroom opens. Leslie Mann walks out for some reason. And there's nothing that brings a crew together better than mud wrestling to the sound of CCR.
Yeah.
Who's out there male bonding all a Top Gun. Burt Reynolds decides that they need to start playing dirty too. If they're going to play dirty, so are we. We're going to look up medical records to see which guards have broken bones so we can target that. They swap out Kevin Nash's steroids for estrogen. They're handing out brass knuckles and showing you how to hit the helmet goes completely sideways. Somehow caretaker sneaks in an entire Thanksgiving dinner for the entire football team to have.
A
private dinner too. Also gets Adam Sandler a bottle of Kettle One vodka. No free plugs. He's like, I left you a surprise in your toilet. And he goes, take a shit in my toilet.
Yeah, that's no, funny.
No, I left that in Bruce. That's the surprise I left for Brucey. There's two glasses. We're going to share a glass. He's like, man, can't wait to have a drink with you out on the outside. He's like, you're my best friend. And you hear Bob Sapp, I thought I was your best friend. It's okay, Swatowskis. Finish your coloring book. Go to sleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're having a moment, shows him a picture of him and his mom. She's the one who taught me to be so good to everybody. I got a question for you, though. Why'd you shave the points? To which even, you know, obviously everyone in the on the floor can hear everything. So everybody's like coming to their doors to hear his answer. To which he says, you know, you saw the news. I was acquitted. Didn't do it. You know, he's like, yeah, innocent, aren't we all? Kind of thing. Everyone's innocent in
prison.
Everybody
says they're innocent in prison.
Yeah. Also, hey, one more question before we go to sleep. What if I told you I have a way that we can watch the guards game footage? What would you do for that? And he goes, I'd do about anything. Cut to us going to Cloris Leachman, the horned dog.
Yeah.
we're keeping the warden occupied while Adam Sandler goes for the game footage. She goes, you have to earn those first. To which she hands him a glass of wine. He slams.
They like, yeah.
Intertwined
twist up
hands.
Their arms. And
she chugs the glass of wine and has him chug. And he goes, maybe another glass. cut to movie night. Everyone's watching. What is that Johnny Five movie? I've never seen it. What's it called? Johnny Five is Alive.
Oh, Short Circuit.
Short Circuit. Never seen it.
I have. Probably when I was like 6 or 7, but I don't think I've ever watched them since then.
No. I just know the line, Johnny Five is Alive.
Yeah.
they're all watching Short Circuit. The guards are like, let's get out of here. They're just watching Short Circuit. So let's walk away. To which they say, okay, everybody settle down. We're going to switch over to the game footage. But before that, we got a special thing to show everybody. Cut to video footage of how Adam Sandler got the game footage. He goes, now I have to relive this again. he's in his tidy whiteys. Cloris Leachman is in lingerie and like a Leatherheads helmet.
Yeah, and then a cowboy hat appears.
Snapping photos. He's got the cowboy hat on his crotch and he holds his hands in the air and the cowboy hat doesn't go down. We see him spanking her with the cowboy hat. And, like, if you look at Sandler's face, you could see, like, he's trying not to break.
Yeah, so bad. Like, it's so funny because he's just like, this is the most ridiculous scene ever. Like,
everyone's hooting and hollering. And Brucey says, hey, you know what they say? Once you go gray, there ain't no other way. To which he's like, and Sandler stands up. He's like, you know, Brucey, I'm really excited you said that because I got another video. Go ahead. Hit it, Joey Diaz.
Oh,
Joey Diaz washes tapes out. We got Brucey over in the laundry room, and Tracy Morgan meets up with him. God, was this trick photography?
Yeah.
Putting lip gloss on him. They go behind a door, pull a curtain down, and we see in the silhouette them making it. He's like, I was just showing a couple wrestling moves.
I like how he's, like, in every other scene, too, he's, like, shadow boxing, too. Like, cracks
not showing a couple. Not to get existential again, but I am. But like, just imagine refilming those scenes. Like, okay, no, what you need to do is make sure you get, you know, go act like you're gonna make out with them again. And then in the scene too, where the cowboy hat, like, just imagine, like, like, oh man,
what a fun day on set.
Yeah. No,
what'd you do today? Nothing.
Academy Award winning actress Cloris Leachman's gonna spank you with the cowboy hat. And she won from the last picture show, which we did on this year's podcast.
Oh, hot dog.
Yeah. Okay, everybody calm down. Calm down. He's like, we're here to watch game footage. That's what we're here for. As we're watching game footage, we zoom out and we see that Unger is watching. He goes to the guards and lets them know that they are all watching game footage right now. And he says, well, if I were you, I would come up with an idea to get rid of Paul Crewe. And he's like, how am I supposed to do that? He goes, you're the criminal. Figure it out. Oh, I got just a thing. We're at our final practice. Burt Reynolds is rallying the troops, giving one last speech, while we see that Unger is in Adam Sandler's cell, hooking up a old-timey jukebox. Not jukebox, but like record player. He's able to sneak out just as Chris Rock comes in with some memorabilia for Adam Sandler for him. And he hears this terrible yodeling music. He says, I gotta turn this shit off. And as he turns it off, it explodes, blows up. Unger closes the gate, the cell door, runs away. As we see everybody try to get in, and we cut to Chris Rock's funeral.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
No. Very solemn of everyone's leaving little trinkets for him. But the funeral is very short because it's game day, guys. Imagine going to a funeral and then having to go play a football game.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, it's game day, so we're showing, you know, the stadium that they're in. They're hooking up barbed wire everywhere. We got guard towers everywhere.
Snipers. Like I
said, yeah, snipers ready to go.
Like I said earlier, Jim Rome welcomes us to deep in the heart of Toothless Country. In the locker room, the warden comes in, and he warns everybody that the facility is armed to the teeth, and you will be shot dead if you try anything in the head, shot dead. But I want you to still go out there and have some fun.
Yeah, go get him.
Adam Sandler lets everybody know, hey, I know it's hard to, you know, get excited to play a football game after Caretaker's death, but he left us one last present. Opens a box and throws Goldberg a giant cup.
Yeah.
Michael Irvin, I still don't think it's big enough. Brucey's like, is that the only gift? And he goes, no, we got one more thing. Pulls out the sickest jerseys.
Those were like XFL jerseys, original Dude, XFL jerseys. Those were sick.
I'm telling you right now, the black and red with the barbed wire trim, I'm like, growing up, I was like, those are the cleanest jerseys I've ever seen in my life. And my wife goes, yes, you do like black and red a lot.
I like what I like.
Yeah, what can I say? We get Chris Berman up in the booth announcing the game, sitting up there with babyface Bob. Tell the folks at home, hey, Bob. To which he just scowls and he takes his thing off. He goes, hey, you know, Bob, with this gig is a lot of back and forth.
Give and take.
I'm going to need you to open up a little bit and just kind of skip. Or you don't have to. It's all good.
Yeah.
Guys, it's football time. And we're ramping up. We got the AC/DC playing. It's just juicing me up. I want to put the pads on myself. Yeah. Get out there one more time. All the Burt Reynolds. We kick off. And it's a goddamn shit show. Goldberg's got the knuckle duster. Everyone's drop kicking people.
Yeah.
You got guys getting power slammed, power bombed, clothesline from hell.
Great opening kickoff.
As the guards run it in for an easy touchdown, everyone's hurt. We get a guard getting escorted. And, you know, Goldberg, we get the Goldberg guy, night, night, bitch. Then you got 14-year-old me off to the side going, oh, my God.
What?
They get that guy in a cart. Kevin Nash is despondent. If you need to cry, you just go ahead and cry. He's like, what the hell? You sound like my mom. Like,
yeah.
Sorry for caring.
I love that.
Great Khali, next play, misses a tackle because he goes up and lights up his own personal guard, resulting in a fumble to which the guards score. Again, on a flea flicker. Easy second touchdown. Sandler lets everybody know, listen, guys, I know you got your licks in, but you know what's going to hurt more than actual physical pain? A loss from us is going to kill them forever. So why don't we start playing fucking football and stop out here? And everyone does the whole, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Let's play football. Unfortunately, the referees are Chiefs fans because this is a rigged game. we got pass interference on Michael Irvin that's not called. Michael Irvin gets in the ref's face and he goes, oh, you're right. I missed a call. Throws the flag. Unsportsmanlike on Michael Irvin.
Yeah.
Backs him up.
Want to play games? Here you go.
Nelly gets tackled all a face mask. Doesn't get called. Another unsportsmanlike for running his mouth at the ref, to which Adam Sandler decides to waste two downs. Throwing the football.
Well, they're down two scores.
Yes. Throws that first ball, tight spiral right in the right nut. Ooh, that one hurt my marble sack. Great call. He's like, oh, he was like, oh, my ball.
Oh, my balls.
What down is it? Fifth. That would be fourth down. Fourth down, okay. The inmates are electing to not punt for it, only for Sandler to throw it. And he's like, what do you say? I go for the left one this time. Throws another one, hits him, square in the dick again, goes up and says, what do you say we call a clean game the rest of the game? He's like, you got it. All right. Wet Willie. Gives him a wet Willie. We are vibing now. We're all playing like a team. They get the ball back. They hike the ball. Adam Sandler drops back, and Kevin Nash comes running in. trick play handoff. He's like, you fooled me.
You fooled me.
He's like, you know what, Nash? You're pretty good. You know, he's like, you're definitely the hottest guy out here. And he goes, Paul, for you to say that at a time like this, it means everything. The crowd starts booing because the inmates are getting back in it. Nash is yelling at the crowd. He's like, hey, both teams are trying very hard. Stone Cold Steve Austin's like, what the hell is your problem? He's like, sportsmanship, try it. Sportsmanship, try it. Yeah. He sticks his tongue out at him. The inmates score, but Stone Cold is the answer. He's another fullback a la Refrigerator Perry that is an unstoppable force. He runs a couple first downs, getting Nelly's face, says that's how a white man runs a football. And he's like, well, if I was on defense, I'd crack your back. And he goes, well, you're not on defense, are you, bitch? Gives him the Stone Cold middle fingers, walks away. Nelly grabs Bob Sapp and says, you want to know what he called me in the library? Whispers in his ear, Bob Sapp. Gets pissed. Next play, goes in there, absolutely destroys Stone Cold Steve Austin. To which he says, I think I made him shit himself. Yeah. Then we get a very Austin Powers, I think he shit himself. I think he shit himself. Oh my God, this guy just shit himself. He's like, I did made him shit himself. And on if you watch this on TV, it's I think I broke his freaking neck, by the way.
Really?
So the line always confused me because they go, I think I broke his freaking neck. Oh my God, I think this guy broke his freaking neck. And Nelly goes, I'll deliver the books to the hospital. And then Michael Irvin goes, and diapers. And I was like, what does he need diapers for?
Yeah, why does he get diapers? They broke, yeah.
Adam Sandler calls another play because they got the ball back. Terry Crews says, that sounds like some backyard bullshit. You know, to close out the halftime, we're going to backyard bullshit a bunch of laterals.
Yeah.
To end up for Nelly to run it in for a touchdown. So we are all tied up at halftime. The warden, obviously pissed, grabs Adam Sandler before he goes back into the locker room and says, hey, listen, you're supposed to lose this game. What's going on? He goes, sorry, sir, I can't make him. You know, what can I do? We're just out there playing. He goes, well, that's interesting because Unger's in jail, has been arrested for the murder of caretaker, and he says you were his accomplice, and I'm willing to back that up unless you lose this game. So now Adam Sandler is faced with an issue. Does he get out in 3 years if he throws the game again? You know, do what you do best. Throw the game. He decides, I don't want to be in here the rest of my life for a crime I didn't commit. I will throw the game, but once you get a 2-touchdown lead, coast. Stop beating the shit out of my guys. And he goes, you got it. To which he then immediately goes to William Fichtner, who lets him know, hey, but guess what? This game is rigged. You can't get it done on your own, so I have some help. Once you get a 3-touchdown lead, I want you to beat the living shit out of them and never let up. So that first possession, we get it, and Adam Sandler immediately throws a terrible pick six.
Not even close.
Yeah. Overthrows Michael Irvin. He goes to the sideline. Burt Reynolds like, does the coach thing. He's like, hey, short memory. We get this one. We got it back. We get it back. We get it back. They get the ball back again.
But at the same time, he's kind of keeping his eye on him like,
Yes. You had a terrible underthrew, and then you overthrew him wide open. Cut to the next play. Goes for a terrible handoff that was never going to happen. It's now a fumble. Guards get it. Fumble six. He comes to the sideline, takes his helmet off, throws it, and says, I'm done. Plants it on the bench. And he goes, what do you mean you're done? What hurts? And he goes, nothing. I'm done. I'm not playing anymore. You can see the team clearly can see that he's given up on them. They all have that same old Paul Crew mentality. He did it once, he'll do it again. Brucey is in at quarterback.
Brucey.
All right. He says, like, Crew's sucking it up. Not my problem. Here we go. He's like,
It's my time.
Ike's the ball, fumbles the ball immediately. Oh, that shouldn't have had that popcorn.
The popcorn.
Guards fall on it. Guards hit an immediate flea flicker to go up 3 scores. Guards are wailing on everybody. Sandler can see that they're not letting up. Nelly comes up to him. He's trying avoiding eye contact. He goes, yeah, I would have a hard time looking at me too. But Reynolds is like, how much more bloodshed are we going to allow this to happen? To which Adam Sandler has a moment where he can see that the warden is not going to hold up his end of the bargain, sees him up in the stands laughing, thumbs upping as he's clapping with his program. Very Southern thing to do down here. Got to clap with your program. he has a coming to Jesus moment where he goes to Eddie Bunker, who was told at the very beginning was up for parole 20 years ago, but the guard he punched ended up being the warden, so now he's going to be stuck here for the rest of his life. Goes up to him and says, "Was it worth it?" And he says, "Every damn day of my life." To which he says, "Okay, I'm back in." Goes in. "Hey, guys, I missed you. We got a lot of work to do. Let's go." The linemen look at each other like, this fucking guy. Hikes the ball. They let them go right through. Smokes them. The guards go, "Oh, they're giving up on him. Jailbreak blitz, baby. Here we go." Second down. Does it again. Destroys him again. "We're not going to kick. I'll do this my own goddamn self." Hikes the ball and does an amazing scamper, loses his helmet, runs for the 25 yards for the first down, calls for the timeout, gets everybody together and says, "Listen, I never said this out loud, but I'm going to tell you guys again. I shaved those points. I was in bad with some bad people, and I wish they would have just killed me because I'll have to live with this for the rest of my life. But now the warden wants to pin caretaker's death on me," to which everyone's like, "Oh, fuck." He says, "unless I lose this game. But I can't do this twice in one lifetime. So you guys are going to, I hope you guys are here with me, because you're going to get to know each other a lot, because I ain't doing this again." Rallies the troops. "Hell yeah, we're playing as
Let's
a team.
Let's do it.
Yeah." We get the classic football comeback montage. The meme machine score immediately. They get the ball back off that tackle strip fumble. Homeboy with the cigarette burns the guard's hand to get the fumble.
Oh, yeah.
The next play they do is that terrible, famous Indianapolis Colts play where they have the entire team line up on the side and there's nothing but the center and the quarterback. Did you think about that, Brandon, when they showed that? I was like, oh,
yeah,
my God.
The old swinging gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works this time because they do what they should have been doing the whole time. They throw the ball over to the great Kali, who is a one-man wrecking machine. Bursts in, scores the touchdown, but they need to get the ball back because we have like a mere, 30 some odd seconds left in the game. "Brucey, you're kicking off." Goldberg's like, "Coach, he's a terrible kick." He goes, "Yeah, get the ball back." Brucey winds up to kick. He goes, "Dear God, if you help me get this kick, I promise I'll stop cheating on my wife with men."
With men.
Ah, jeez, he kicks the ball. It's a terrible kick. But it has just enough roll for Goldberg to fall on the ball. They have one drive left. They get the ball out to Nelly, who takes it in all the way to the four, but he's out for the game because he busts his ankle. Sandler hits him with the, you broke your ankle for us, we'll break our ass for you. We have one play left in the tank. Put him in, coach. Coach puts the helmet on, comes running out there. We got Burt Reynolds lining up. He's like, "I'm not hiking you the ball, old man. I'm not gonna." He's like, "You won't have to. You know why?" Classic fumble rooski, baby.
Yeah.
The fumble rooski.
With Chris Berman on the call.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Whoop. Whoop. Make that noise again. Whoop.
I like that noise.
It's a fumble rooski. Burt Reynolds runs it in. Gets destroyed right at the line. Looked like he wasn't in, but apparently he was. They help him up. Apparently, that was really Burt Reynolds running that in. He didn't want a stunt man because he felt like he had one good one in him. So a lot of the extras that are in football pads are stunt people outside of, like, obviously the actors. So those were, like, stunt men helping him up and help. That was, like, real. They had to help him off the field. But he got the one take, and they were like, damn, that was pretty good.
We're lucky he didn't die.
Now we're down 1 point with no time left. Do we go for the kick to take it into overtime, or do we go for the 2-point conversion to take it all? They go, "We're cons, baby. We always go for it all." Reynolds draws up a play that I feel like every high school has tried to do at least once.
Mimic.
Yeah. They're like, "I don't think this is going to work." We get lined up. There's complete confusion on the sideline. Sandler's yelling at the great Kali, "Stand, get your dumb big ass right here." They're all yelling. The guards are psyched. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on. Adam Sandler turns and walks towards Burt Reynolds. Says, "Nobody knows what's going on. Suddenly the ball hikes. Michael Irvin gets the ball. Pat dumps it out to Adam Sandler, who runs it in, stretches it out, hero moment. Romanowski hits him, but it's too short. He crosses the goal line. Inmates win. Hell yeah. Rob Schneider jumps up. Group hug in the shower tonight.
Yeah.
Everyone looks at him like, oh, okay, no.
Pass.
Inmates win. Everyone's going nuts. Even the crowd is loving it. William Fichtner comes up to Adam Sandler and says, you got brass balls there, brother. He says, but I know you had nothing to do with Chris Rock's death, and I'll back that up in court because I respect you now as a man.
What a guy.
The warden thinks that Adam Sandler's trying to escape. Maybe. I don't know. He sees him walking away. Clearly pissed. He wants Fichtner to shoot him in the head. Fichtner pulls the gun out, looks at him, tries to get his attention, only to see that he's going for the game ball, picks it up, says, going for the game ball, dick. Gives him the gun. Sandler comes up, slams the ball in the warden's chest and says, put this in your trophy case. Only for Michael Irvin and Goldberg to dump him with Gatorade. That's 1 week in the hole. Who gives a shit? Movie Worth over, it. Guys.
Yeah.
Wrapped it up.
Yeah, yes. They really do. Yeah. You never know.
The cons win.
I'm saying the game's over, movie's over, boom.
I want to see the sequel, The Longer Yard, to see if he ever gets out of prison.
Is that a real thing?
No, I don't think so.
I was like, okay, cool.
And then he starts the Gridiron Gang with The Rock.
Shit.
I quite enjoyed it. Like I said at the top, like this is just like a capital F fine Adam Sandler movie. Like it's it's no more, and you needed neither no more nor no less. Like it was just good enough. Is this a haha laugh riot like a bunch of his other movies? Not necessarily.
No. I would say it's one of his more like. I wouldn't say serious roles, but he.
It is consistently serious, and then with little sprinkles of like comedy, rather than like Waterboy, just like a laugh fest the whole fucking time.
He doesn't go full Adam Sandler.
That's what I was saying at the beginning. Like everybody else shines a bit more.
Yeah, conservative Sandler.
He plays it more straight to let everybody else come through about a lot more.
Yeah.
Obviously, Chris Rock is doing a lot of the comedic heavy lifting. But then all the other personalities that you get in this movie, whether it's from all walks of life, you know, football, wrestling, we got a bunch of rappers in here, like, and then other, you know, like obviously Terry Crews kind of, this isn't the first time we've seen Terry Crews, but like, you know, he's starting to like break out himself.
That's one big ass robot.
Was Everybody Hates Chris going on at this time?
I don't think so.
No. I really enjoy it. It's definitely worth a watch. I enjoyed talking about it. I know this movie didn't really hit the mark for y'all. Not necessarily hit the mark, but like just like as far as the chuckle fest of the Adam Sandler's that we are just coming off of.
Yeah.
Like this definitely, and it's only going to get worse.
Well, I mean, like, I guess.
Good point.
51st Dates and Big Daddy both have serious elements, but they're more funny than they are. Like, but this one's like, just straight serious with some ahas. But it's like he's not driving the car; he's like in the passenger seat letting somebody else drive. You know,
well,
he's doing the aux cord. So.
We didn't get, you know, there's no patented Sandler song.
Yeah,
no weird chia, like no
obnoxious yelling.
Yeah. So, and we're going to stay in that. We're going to actually get more serious and more sadder Adam Sandler in the next movie. Do we want to talk about that?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
So we are jumping 4 years into 2009 for Judd Apatow's Funny People. Another movie I chose. It's the one I said last week. I said, I don't even know if this is even that good. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Same.
This might be... this movie, it hits depending on... I've noticed on my mood. Just because it's definitely more of a serious, stand-up movie, you know, just about, but like he is such a sad sack in this that it's more of like Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill doing the comedic lifting. So it should be interesting. 2009's Funny People is what we will be doing next week. Anything we need to add before we close out?
Nope.
No.
All right. What do you say we go ahead and cut print shit at the gate, fellas?
See you guys.
See ya.